And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, back in Florida, in beautiful studios here in Deerfield Beach, Florida. And I'm joined today by my two special guests, Mr. Brandon Rainwater.
Yep.
And Sean Finnerty.
What's going on? How are you doing?
What's up, fellas? Now, I'm really glad that you guys already know each other because that kind of makes the show even funner.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Really? Isn't it amazing how, as comics, we could be like on a completely different part of the country, right? Like we live here, you live there, and all of a sudden, hey, how's it going? You know, we know each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every city you go to, you've got like three dudes that you're like, oh, I can hang out with him. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, it's a comfort.
Yeah, oh, I know people there. That's how I know people there. I know him.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, Brandon's been great, taking care of me now. And I'm in Greenville, South Carolina. My new home club is the Comedy Zone in Greenville.
Yeah.
And you are the man there. And I tried not to, I didn't want to come in there and bully myself. You know, I didn't want to come in there and go, hey, you're a fucking Dougie. You know what I mean?
it's always good to have another veteran, man, because I don't really consider myself a vet. I've only been doing it, you know, about 8 years, but it's good to have someone who's a true vet and can help, you know, mentor some of these other comics, because we don't have a lot of mentors in our comedy scene, which, you know.
Yeah, I did notice that. And you know what? I had a few of the local comics that were really happy, because I'm not, you know, it was funny. I went to an open mic. David has an open mic on his rooftop at his apartment.
Yes.
And it was so funny because Tom Emmons, right? He was there one time. One of the comics came up after their set and after the open mic, and they came up and they said, hey, can you give me any notes? You know, what do you think? You know, and this particular comic looked at Tom, and Tom goes, you know, I'm really not good at that.
Yeah, that's Tom would not do that, man. I know. I remember one time when I first started out, maybe about year three, another comic from another area I knew, he was like, hey, man, you hold the mic too far, I can't hear you. He said, you're saying some funny stuff. And I told Tom, I said, he said, I hold the mic too far. He said, yeah, you do it. I just adjust. I said, hey, man, how about tell me? I didn't know. Tom booking me on shows and everything. He was just, oh, I just adjust it because you do. I was like, yeah, but I can correct that.
You're like, man, I've been whispering for 3 years.
Yeah. For 2.5 years, just whispering and only front row laughing. And he's like, oh, yeah, man, but yeah, you can hold it up a little bit. I was like, thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering why nobody was clapping or laughing. And they called me the comedy whisperer. You know what I'm saying? But it was funny because, you know, I like to do that. You know, I go to, when I was in Florida, you know, I would go to open mics because I booked rooms. So I'd like to go to open mics, A, to work on my stuff, and B, to look at local talent so that I can give them spots on shows, you know?
Absolutely.
And every once in a while, I mean, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but when I watch other comics, it's really easy for me to write jokes for them, right? Because they'll come up with their stuff. I mean, isn't it easier to write a joke for another comic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, because sometimes they give you the canvas. Like they give you this blank canvas and you go, oh, I can see this idea and I can see where it's not working out for you. But now, because you can't see yourself on stage. You can take a video, but you can't physically see yourself on stage. So sometimes seeing someone else, you can go, here's what I would do with this. I would go this way. I would go that way. And yeah, it is always easier to write for other comics.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I would like doing that. I've enjoyed doing it because you want to help. You know, you want to do that. But sometimes that shit backfires. You know, sometimes you try to help somebody and they're like, oh, that guy thinks he knows everything, you know, and that kind of nonsense. But it was funny because the comic, you know, Tom said that. He's like, oh, I'm not good at that, you know. And I'm like, and I said, well, you know, I said a few things. And that is, as I was getting into it, I'm like, I'm really not clearly saying what I want to say. And I felt like the comic was kind of like, oh, you know, like getting a little bit mad. Like, you know, because some comics want you to blow smoke up their ass. You know, they want you to say, oh, you did great. You know, it was fine.
So it turns out you're not good at it either. You just fucking do it anyway.
Exactly. He's like, are those your dreams? Watch it, do it. Take those and get them.
Have you thought about an apprenticeship?
Exactly.
You should run the show.
That's funny. But that was the thing, because after this all happened, I was sitting there, I look at Tom and I go, you know what, Tom, I should have followed your lead. And stuff like that. So
yeah, Tom has to really like you if he helps you out with anything. He don't just be spinning out there. He's got to really, really like you, and then he'll open up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And Tom's not big fond of the podcast. You know, it's like I talked about, but he's like, I don't believe in podcasts. Nobody watches them.
That's my buddy. He don't.
That's so funny. I don't believe in podcasts.
Like, they don't exist at all. I'm like, here's the podcast. No, it's not.
As far as he's concerned, Joe Rogan's career ended after the Man Show.
Yeah. I don't believe in them. It's such a strong way of saying it. Not, I don't like them. I don't listen to them. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't believe in them. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Podcasts to me are a lot like voodoo. Yeah.
First of all, you have podcast and you have flat earth theory. So whatever way you want to go.
They're in the same category for him.
Yeah, that's funny, dude. Well, and thanks, guys, for joining in, by the way, and being on the podcast. It's great.
Yeah.
Sorry, this isn't. He thought it was on like
intervention.
Yeah.
Now, what's Sean, the intervention about?
Yeah, go figure. The this guy's drinking. So now you're back in Orlando, right, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Just got back here. Closed on a condo a month ago. So happy to be back in the sunshine all year round.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
My God. You know, I got to tell you, because, you know, I did buy a place in Simpsonville area, Greenville, South Carolina, sold my house in South Florida, but I am going to want to keep a residence in Florida. I'm looking at Orlando. I'm looking at, you know, that area. Cause I think pretty much, if it comes down in Florida, what the hottest comedy scenes are in Florida, it's got to be Orlando, right? And Tampa, probably the top two.
Orlando's always been solid. Tampa is good too. Tampa has some good guys coming through. You know, I think they suffer less maybe than the rest of the state in terms of people do leave, but there's always like a good core in both of those cities. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the things I'm excited about being in Greenville, because it is so new. You know, it's the concept of being a big fish in a small pond.
Right.
But you know, listen, I was nervous. I'll be honest with you. I moved. I was nervous. I'm like, next thing you know, I ended up getting gigs and I'm thinking, oh, this is pretty good. I opened up for Donnie Baker in a couple of places. And this weekend I opened up for John Reap. And, you know, what's the biggest venue that you've ever played in? Sean first.
I did 1,000 seats at the Borgata in Atlantic City.
Pretty decent. That's a nice room.
Yeah.
Now, was there different levels? Was it like theater in a sense? Was there different levels?
No, it was all like, it was raised. The front row was well below you, but then raised as it goes back. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I that was interesting when you have a couple places in these theaters I performed at, you have different levels. You have the balconies and stuff like that. And you have to remember to keep look at everybody.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I had Bobby Collins on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about an opening act that was very funny, but the person was thinking they were in a comedy, you know, a comedy club, and they just kept looking at the people in the front. Meanwhile, everybody up there is like, hey, we're up here. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, we're in the audience. That, by the way, that's comedy. I've played football in front of 40,000 people.
Like American football?
No, like Gaelic football, Irish sport.
Soccer?
No. We have our own sport.
You have your own. Wait a minute. Oh, hold on a second. Now, first of all, we got to make sure Brandon tells us about his biggest, because Brandon has been kicking ass lately and hitting the road. But what do you mean? So what kind of football is Irish football?
It's imagine like a cross between like soccer and rugby.
Is it when it be fighting each other in the thing?
No, sometimes, yeah. No,
I've seen this only every couple of years.
Depends on if the ref is looking or not.
Do you have to wear a suit of armor for this game?
No. Shorts and a jersey.
So we're not talking about Australian rules football, which is kind
very
of
very similar. Very similar, but it's like Australian rules, but with a round ball.
Oh, yeah, because the ball is, you know, Australian rules is a bit of an oval ball.
Yeah.
Right? And rugby is even a little more closer to a football.
Yeah, it's basically like a soccer ball.
So who the hell do you think you are to come up with a whole different game?
Yeah.
You know. Now, do they wear pads in this game?
Oh, I'm sorry, NFL and baseball.
Just like
you play lacrosse. Where else plays lacrosse?
You know, I can't believe that game. First of all, it's, I don't know if I've ever, like, is there any other game that's more boring to watch than lacrosse?
And watching it live is not as bad as watching it on TV. I will say that watching it live is a little better, but it's still a lot of stuff that you don't understand.
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't expecting that from the black guy. Well, the lacrosse defender.
Here's the thing. Hey, when my son, like, he wants to play basketball, and I was like, let's go to a sport where you have a better chance of being the only black person. he played in one season. And was like, oh my gosh, you're so good and fast. I was like, because he's black. You've never seen black
people. All the way over,
you know.
You're just there with your son, like, get the skates on, put the skates on. You're gonna like hockey.
Everything that was, and I was like, he's like, I want to play basketball. I was like, we'll do hockey and lacrosse. Come on, I like our chances.
I think that's good parenting, Brandon, because you know what I mean, like, you know, you want to stand out, like you said, like hockey, there's a lot of black players in hockey, which has been interesting last like decade. We've seen more players, but lacrosse,
yeah, dude, the only one, he was the only one, and I loved it, and it was like, oh my gosh, he was good at it. It was like, he's fast and he's doing it. I was like, yeah.
But can he dance? I bet he can't dance.
Yeah. Like, that's from all those years of basketballing.
Meanwhile, he's moonwalking.
Right.
I think in lacrosse, I think the laziest position in any professional sport has to be the lacrosse goalkeeper.
Yeah. Lacrosse goalkeeper. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, he's useless.
Yeah.
He's got a big butterfly net, you know?
The laziest position, yeah, but not the laziest thing you can do in all of sports. I mean, you can be that guy in curling who just throws the ball, or then you have those sweet sweeper guys.
Sweeping for it.
I mean, darts is just that. That's the whole movement.
Yeah.
That's true.
Now, I love darts. I used to be a competitive dart player myself. But
he got mad, Sean, when you said that.
Yeah, I love it. He's like, it is a sport, and I will not hear otherwise.
Listen, you know, it's bad when in order to get in shape for a sport, you got to gain weight, and drink heavily.
It's just darts and sumo wrestling. That's it.
That's it. But you mentioned that. Now, Brandon, what would you say is the largest crowd you performed in front of?
Oh, man, I got kind of lucky. My first, year in comedy, I won a competition. And I got to open up at the Barlow Center. And that was when Last Comic Standing was really, really big. And they had the comics there. And it was probably like 20,000 people there. Wow. I only got to do 3 minutes, man. But it was so cool. Yeah, it was so cool, man. Like, the laughter just...
Unbelievable. Like 3 minutes in front of 20,000 people.
Yep.
I mean, how many jokes can you tell in 3 minutes in front of 20,000?
He told a setup.
Yeah. Dude, here's the funny thing about the competition. They had the comics. They had us, we had to win to go in outside of the stadium, outside of the Barlow Center. So it was me and three other comics. They had a couple audience members out there. And whoever won, they brought you right in. It was like, all right, this guy won. We're going right in. you won and you went in, went backstage at 8, and it was like, all right, Brandon, you ready? We bring you on.
So you won like a competition and then an hour later performed for 20,000 people.
It wasn't even an hour. Like, I'm being serious. Like, we qualified like the week or two before. Then they said, we're going to have the winners come out here, the radio host it. And if you win, you go right into the Barlow Center and perform right then. So it was like maybe 30 minutes before. So I won it, walked me in, I ate something quick, and right on stage.
That's awesome.
That's great because you don't even have like, you don't have time to think about it.
The set is.
It's probably for the best, right? Yeah, you don't have time to think about it. You just go and do it.
Yeah. So that was the biggest I've ever performed in. Like I said, I didn't know. It was probably too early to really appreciate it because I was like, yo, this is fun. I'll be doing this again tomorrow. But no.
Next thing you know, you're in front of 10 people at a bar.
In front of a pizza place doing
just talking to 8 people yelling, do you know who I am?
Yeah, I performed for the 20,000 people once.
And I think out of the three of us, Sean is the only one with a late night credit, actually was on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. And, I did the Tonight Show at the start of 2019.
That's dope, man.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's got to be the tough thing about that is, you know, you get that spot and then of course the pandemic hits, you know, it's kind of fucking puts, you know what I mean? And yeah. that had to be a bit of a crutch.
It was annoying. I had a run of about, I had a good year where things seemed to be building momentum and I was looking at my schedule going, great, headlining weekends all over the country. I'm covered most weekends. When not, I can just hop on a cruise ship, do whatever. And then all of that was wiped out.
Quickly.
But thankfully, the comeback has been like real good. I started back full time in January and I've had like 3 weekends off in like 6 months.
Good. Nice. That's good. Yeah.
You know, we talked about the biggest venue. What was like, you know, I mean, like we kind of referenced it. So how hard is it to transition? Like this weekend, I got to open for John Reap at the Harrah's in Cherokee, which seats like 2,000 people. We had about 1,000 people there. It was pretty good. And, you know, it was just when I walked out there, I was like, oh, you know, this is, you know, I've been doing this long enough where I took it in, you know, and stuff. And then, but then what is it going to feel like when you go to another place? Like you said, there's a baseball game on the TV and you're talking to like a table of 3 people while they're trying to split chicken wings.
Yeah. You know? I did similar. It wasn't like 1,000 people.
I was
teaching for Big J Okerson all weekend at the Orlando Improv. So I got to headline my own show Thursday and feature for him the rest of the weekend. And they were all, every show was pretty much sold out. Like, you know, 250, 300 people every show.
And then it's like,
should I brave the Monday open mic downtown tonight? It is definitely a drop off.
Now, do you guys still attend open mics? I know Brandon runs one in Greenville, but I mean, is that something you guys still do?
Every now and then. Usually I am. I like to see what's going on in the scene and who's like coming up. And then I'll just, you know, I'll just get them to throw me up whenever. You know, it's nice to be in a city where, you know, you're one of the only
people with a late night credit.
So they just go, when do you want to go up? And I go, I'll see. You know, it's just such a far cry from the days of when I was in New York going, oh, what's that? 37th? Cool. I'll sit here for 3 hours.
Yeah. And that's a great point because, you know, it's one thing to establish that. I know I've been at open mics where you've seen some comics get mad because somebody on the list, a veteran or somebody who's been around, a working comic, just gets put on the show. And, I remember a few years ago, I was at a show somewhere in Fort Lauderdale and somebody mentioned that. And somebody said, hey, man, these people work. You know, these people have put their time in, you know, Brandon does that now. It's like, you know, I don't know if I should say that because other comics can get mad, but you know, but I'll say, hey man, I want to come out, you know, so, yeah, just come out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's with anything as well. That should apply to more, like that applies to a lot of industries. Like, can you imagine if you were booked to do Howard Stern and then, you know, Bradley Cooper shows up, it's like, all right, I guess I'm going to have to wait a while or not go on today. You know, that's just how it is.
When you earn it. And then like at the end of the day, especially when you're producing the show, I'm like, hey guys, I'm on all your open mic, everyone that comes off of the open mic to have fun, but you got audience members who want to have a good show. So when a veteran comic comes up, I'm like, yes, I will make sure you get on here. You know, let's make it work. You know, let's get it. So
I've had it. I've been bummed for like Gaffigan, Jim Gaffigan, Jerry Seinfeld, and you're just like, that makes sense.
And that's the thing, but you know, as a professional, you're okay with that. You know, I've been in New York when I got bumped for, you know, like, hey, you're gonna wait, and I'm like, of course, you know, I'm gonna complain.
Right. You know, it's Chris Rock. I'll be fine.
fuck Chris Rock. He's gotta wait his fucking turn.
That's it. Sometimes you get bumped for an act so big that literally all you can do is you can just go like, so I get to see them for free now. Yeah. That's great. You can't argue with that.
No doubt. Yeah. So yeah, I'd like to say, man, I hit up probably besides my own open mic, maybe one. I try to pick like every other month, and then I'll just hit about 3, and then you know I'm so busy myself. I'm not even like you said. I'm so busy that I can't.
Right.
You know, I try to show my face, so I'm like, well, I only show up for one that I do, so just enough to still let the scene know, hey, I'm here too. But it's kind of hard.
Yeah, because now that I've been there in Greenville, I wanted to go out, especially when I got there. I started, and I've just been busy with obviously the move and everything getting organized. Mm-hmm. But you know, I want, like you said, I want to meet people. I want to find out people in the scene. And it's a fun scene, you know. Mm-hmm. Although I did mention to you that on one open mic, a comic comes up to me after my set and goes, "Man, that was funny. I want to use that." And one of my jokes, I go, "Really?" And it was funny because all the other comics were sitting there going, like, I did not find it funny. Like, I looked at the guy, said, "You know what, dude? If you use my joke, you're gonna have a fucking problem." Yeah, you know, it's not gonna go well for you. He came out and said it, Sean. He came out, you know, Brandon knows the story. But he came out and says, "Oh, that's really funny, dude. I'm gonna have to use that." And I go, "Oh yeah, you think so?"
I legitimately had a guy text me one time to say, "Hey, I just used your joke and it went great." Just like, where did you start comedy that nobody told you that you don't just use other people's material?
Well, look, okay, it's something similar happened to me about a month ago. They said a comic, they was at a show, and a comic was like, "So what's something you can do to blah, blah, blah?" And like, so they yelled out one of my punchlines, like, "Oh yeah, and the audience loved it." I said, "Make sure you go tell them that's somebody's punchline." I said, "Because they will take that and run with it." I said, "Don't be yelling." I was like, "I understand what you thought you were doing, but you just gave away a punchline that I took some time to write." I was like, "Don't do that."
That's I actually had a Florida comic who's been around a long time get caught doing one of my closing jokes. And I reached out to the person, and the person says, "Yeah, you know what? Out of respect for you, I won't do it anymore." I go, "Out of respect for me?" I go, "First of all, out of respect for the industry and the profession, number one, and out of respect of not getting your teeth knocked into the back of your throat." Yeah. I would imagine. And then the person said to me, they go, "Well, you know what? There's about three or four other comics that are doing that joke too." I'm like, "Well, thanks to you, you know, I'm sure."
You okayed it. You said it was okay to do it.
Yeah.
And it's the difference, like, than having the same premise and telling somebody's joke, you know, because like, it's only so many different ways under the road that, you know, you can say you came up steps and you're tired. You say that, cool. But where you go from there, it's how I can tell it's my joke. You know, is your joke. I'm like, "Don't do it."
Well, that's a great point, Brandon, because the other question is, aside from just joke thievery, there's also people that like will ghost or mirror premises. Like, one thing about it, I've noticed sometimes you go to an open mic, you start telling jokes about this or that, then other comics start telling jokes using that same premise, you know?
Same premise. Yeah. Yep.
And you're like, you know, that's kept me away in the past from doing open mics, because, you know, I'm doing a threesome joke. Next thing you know, these comics start doing threesome jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a different joke, or
but it's still the same. Yeah. Nope.
You know, I'm not your muse. I'm not here to give you ideas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, I get it.
And I've had comics in the past, like, they'd be like, "Hey, why aren't you working me?" I'm like, "Well, first of all, you know, I can't have a comic open up for me that's doing three or four jokes using the same," you know.
Right.
Hey, okay, so Mitch, okay, I'm glad you said that. Okay, and you tell me, if I'm wrong, you tell me. I was headlining the show, and I was at this club, and they let the host go up, and they had like two guest spots. And one of the guys on the guest spots, he did a joke that was touches on my stuff. Like, it was, you know, it didn't say it, but it was all over, you know. And it was like 10 minutes, where it's like 10 minutes. So I told him, I said, "Hey, man, next show, don't do that joke. You only doing 5 minutes." I was like, "Don't do it." So when I went on stage, I came back off, and it was like, "Yeah, man, Brandon told me this kind of mess." I was like, "No, sir, you doing a guest spot."
Yeah.
Like, don't do something that's going to step on something I'm finna do, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, and that's a big part of my joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can still do it, but I just want it to be a little bully for a minute. I was like, "Don't do that."
Well, I think there's two schools of thought on that. I think there's two, right? Number one, like, especially if it's a good part of your act, like if it's part of your merch sale, or it's a core of your act, that's one thing.
Right.
And I've had comics, you know, Rich Voss, you know, I do a bit about the wall and a slingshot and this and that. And Rich Voss had a joke about catapult in the wall. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Rich said, "Hey, I wouldn't mind if you didn't do it." I'm like, "Sure." Hey, number one, headliner, it's your show, man. It ain't my show.
That's the thing that I don't think a lot of new comics understand that. Nothing against new comics, but it's
also
the headliner show.
Also, on to that note, like, a good, if you're featuring for Rich Voss, like, a good club feature should have headliner time. You know, like, it shouldn't just be, "Oh, I got 25 minutes, now I'm ready to feature." It should be like, "Oh, I can headline my own stuff. So if he asked me to not do a joke, that's not a big deal, because I have an hour of material."
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point. And number one, because you, obviously you want to work more, right? So, you know, you want to be humble, you want to be professional, and that's the person's show. Because I've had some people, I had somebody one time send me, oh, the headliner should do their own stuff. You know what I mean? Right. They should have 2 hours. You know, they should be like, you know what, if you only have 30 minutes, you're doing 20. If it's too hard for you to replace. And I could see either way, but I would make that choice to take.
Yeah. Here's the one discrepancy I would have with that take is that I think if a headliner has the right to work on, if it's like a bigger name headliner, they have the right to work on whatever they want to work on. And you should assume that what they're working on is towards their next hour or their next recording. So if that's what they want to do and that's what they want to work on, then they have the right to. Because listen, between us all, we probably have 2 hours of material each. Some of it we love, some of it we like, some of it we don't really want to do that much. But like that process of fine-tuning an hour and then moving and ditching it, moving on to the next hour, we can also respect being in the game long enough that you don't want to do old stuff. You're working on your new hours. So let's work towards that. So in that respect, I'm like, you know what? Whatever you're working on, that's your thing. I don't need to cross it.
I told you. I'm getting all the pussy in here.
I told when I first started doing, and I'm not saying like I've been doing it, you know, nowhere as long as Doug. And Sean, how long have you been doing comedy? 10 plus? You've been doing it 10 plus years, right?
About nine,
yeah. So yeah, me and you are close to about the same range. I'm coming up on 8. But when I started, I was fortunate that, like, I call them my unofficial mentors, like Tom Emmons, he said a couple of things important. Sometimes just little small phrases and thing that people say to you that registers.
Yeah. But
they was like, hey man, when you're doing going up and you're just doing a guest spot, you got to be clean. And I was like, okay. They was like, because who are you to come out here and take the crowd into the gutter?
Right.
And the headline. It was like, it's not your show.
Yeah. And
so now I mentioned that to some people, like, hey man, I'm not saying you got to be 100% clean, but I don't want you to say the F word. I don't want you to say the P word. I want you to clean it up and let these guys, let them do it.
Right.
You can't do 5 minutes. You know, and a lot of people just, the comedy has changed a lot, even in the last 10 years. Well, Doug, you know, even in the last 10 years, it's changed so freaking much, man.
Yeah.
You got a lot of the youth that, you know, it's hard. In the past, you tell comics, and that's the best advice I was given. Mm-hmm. Is to be clean, because you get more work. You know, John said that to me before the show. He's like, no F-bombs. You know, I preferred if you were clean and no goddams, which by the way, in the South, you know, I mean, goddamn is, you know, but in that's the F-bomb. South, you might as well be saying cocksucker.
Yeah, that's the equivalent to the F-bomb in the South. They were like, no, you did not say that.
Yeah. I know. I remember the first time I realized that. I think I was in Greensboro, North Carolina or something.
Yeah.
And like you said, a guest spot went up and said, goddamn, goddamn. And you could just feel the crowd turn.
Oh, yeah. No, not here, buddy.
Nah, they were just like, I'm like, oh, my God. And that was I remember the first time I realized that. It was funny because he was telling me this. I was like, yeah, don't worry. But yeah, you got to work. Listen, you got to do that. You're going to open up for somebody, be clean and challenge yourself. I always tell my advice to comics is, look, if you're doing a 5 or 7 minute set, you really should be working for your TV set. You really should just be trying to put together.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
You know, 5 to 7 TV set. Because, you know, what are you going to go up there and drop the F-bomb 10 times in 5 minutes? All right. Well, this has been, we didn't even cover some of the topics, by the way. So, you know, you got great guests when you don't even get into some of the topics. But here's one of the things I want to ask you. Let's see. All right. Simple, stupid. Sometimes on the show, on the top, we just like to ask stupid questions of you guys to get us off the choke of the comedy side. So, why should you never call a number in a bathroom wall, Brandon?
Oh, it's probably disconnected. I would say the number is probably disconnected, so don't even call it. That would be the biggest reason I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first thing, because if you need the number up there, eventually enough of us have called it to where it gets disconnected. I've texted the number on the bathroom wall because I was curious. You know, I didn't care about what the writing under it was. I was like, I need to see if this is really Keisha and if she really is okay with a good time.
Yeah.
And it was Mark's number then, and he wasn't ready for a good time.
Yeah, Mark wasn't too happy about that. Sean.
I don't like to talk to people I know. So that would be the best info. Yeah, I'm just like, what am I going to, oh, let's strike up a chat with a stranger. At that point, I don't care what it leads to. I've been in a relationship 5.5 years. I don't need the hassle of figuring out someone over a phone
next
call.
Time you do that question, man, you should have had a number from the bathroom wall, a couple numbers, took pictures of it, and we would have called him right here live and just seen what happened.
That would have been great. See? That would have been great. I mean, yeah, sometimes you don't want to call it because you may know the person. And it'd be embarrassing. You may find out it's your girlfriend. Like, well, bitch, what's your number? that's great. If you could have one extra body part, what would it be?
I'm going to go with a tail, man. I think a tail would be pretty cool.
So you have a tail already, Brandon?
I would like to have one. If I could go, oh, you said one extra part? Oh,
yeah.
Like something extra that I got already? Yeah. Oh,
But that's interesting. You want some tail, you know?
I would want a tail, dude, like a tail. Oh, That's Sean. Come back to me. I can't think of nothing. Come back to me.
I can't believe you didn't think a tail would, like, fuck up your life.
Dude, you know how awesome it would be to have a tail? I could hit people with it. I could, like, lean back and just be on the tail. Come on, man.
I don't think you're thinking of any of the negatives of having a tail for the rest of your life.
No negatives of having a tail. Worst case scenario, I could jump in a circus.
Yeah, that's always a fun life. And, you know, that's always a good experience. I'm right next to the, I'm sharing a room with a bearded lady. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a tail, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, it'd be good because then maybe the tail can hold the mic. Sometimes I get tired of holding the mic. You can just sit there and be a little more expressive, you know, and stuff like that.
Can you imagine the cool TikToks I can make with a tail?
Oh, yeah, you definitely have some followers. Sean?
I think a third nut would be a fun reveal.
Like a spare one?
Yeah, like a third, like a middle ball. I'm pumping on all cylinders.
Jesus, God, when that guy hits his nut, forget it. Yeah, you know, even Peter North would be like, holy shit, did you see the stream that guy just shot? Yeah, but so you'd be like the yogi of testicles. Could you imagine the look a woman would give you when she's down there? She's like, 1, 2, 3.
You'd have to explain that. You would have to explain that in a car ride up there. You can't just pop it up on somebody, Sean.
Yeah, have you ever gotten a flat tire? Always bring a spare.
Now, I could imagine, though, it would be rough, though, because being kicked in the nuts would be even more painful.
Ooh. Not something I've encountered that much, at least not to the extent where I think this is a bigger problem than walking around with a tail.
All right, man, if I grow my tail, you guys are going to be real jealous, bro.
Yeah, that'd be funny. I think that'd be funny because, yeah, you're right. Because the tail, everybody would notice. I mean, unless you kept it in your pants and that kind of thing. But the third nut, only a few people would really get to get to experience that.
Listen, the people who notice, they're already there.
Yeah, they're not gonna be sharing it. You know, my boyfriend Sean's got a third nut.
Plus, with your hang, with your natural hang, no one's even in a Speedo, no one's gonna notice.
Nah, you wouldn't think so.
Yeah, they would just think you're going to take out the morning garbage or something. You got so much shit in there.
Yeah.
They'd be like, do you have a tiny sock in there?
I like that he said a tiny sock. Three's Company, right? Company.
He's being humble. Yeah, I got Jack. Who are the people in Three's Company? Remember Jack?
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Company, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I don't know if I would want a third arm, you know, maybe a third eye, right behind my head.
Yeah.
You know, but that's
you're thinking practical. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's me. I'm a practical guy. Or a second mouth, because that's all I need is to be able to eat more.
Where do you put it?
Yeah. Where do you put the second mouth?
Hmm.
I would do.
You either put it on your chest.
That's weird, though, dude.
Have it on your shoulder.
You would drown. You go to a swim.
Well, you could keep your mouth shut too. You know, you don't. I got this second mouth in my chest, and he can't keep his mouth shut. You know, he starts saying shit, and you got a shirt on. What'd you say to me? I didn't say shit. Yeah, you did. No, it's my mouth and my chest.
Do you also have a sec? So, if you have a second mouth, you got a second like tongue and a second set of teeth, and
Oh shit! Forget it. The dentist bills.
Through the roof.
Yeah, you're right. That is that is impractical. Yeah. That wouldn't be a good thing. Well, of course, a second penis would be good.
Yeah, that's too easy. Of course, that's too easy though.
But would you put it on the side?
No, you double stack them.
You double stack them.
You double stack them.
Yeah.
Oh, you would double stack them, or put one on your hip or something, so you could be
inside,
forward side.
You want to do a double stack like that.
Yeah, there you go. Because if you put them like this, then you got to find sisters.
A double stack sounds more practical.
Yeah, and maybe get one a little bigger than the other.
Yeah, you know, do the side by side, I guess.
Right. I got a size for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Which one do you want tonight, honey? you know,
I'm just glad that nobody said they wanted the second one up their own ass.
Yeah. I want it right there by my ass, just in case I can't find any friendship that night. and of course, I can go fuck myself. You know, but if you did have them side by side, you could put one down each pant leg, which could be impressive. You know, could you imagine you were the girl and she's like, "Whoa, look at you." And I'm like, "Yeah, feel the other leg, baby."
Do you know what the problem is? We haven't found a middle ground because in my scenario, we have a whole lot of pumpage going on to the penis. And in yours, you have two balls doing a lot of heavy lifting.
It's kind of like the workforce now out there. Everybody's collecting unemployment. Yeah. All right. Let me see if there's any of this makes sense to even get into because we had so much other better stuff. Oh yeah, let's finish the topics on this. If you ruled the world, if you were actually leader of the world at this moment, what would be the first thing you'd do?
Ooh.
Brandon would say he'd grow a tail.
Yeah. No, okay. Like if I was, I would definitely, this is gonna, because I watch History Channels and I watch 300 and other cool stuff, I would do exactly like on Troy. If you had a beef with one country, you bring your best warrior/fighter, and I bring mine, and we let them fight. So we'd be training like the Olympic Games, and we would have it big gladiator stadiums, and that's what the Olympics would be for. Whoever won, you were the ruler of the world for the next couple, 4 years? You the man. Your country is ruling for the next 4 years.
So you're going to...
Okay, hang on, because I like this. I would do Brandon's suggestion, but everyone has to put forward their best midget.
What? Midgets are not in a lot of countries, though. What if you don't have any midgets?
They got to be everywhere, right? Midgets? Well, then you're out. You're out. I mean, but your best person under 4 feet.
Yeah.
4.5 feet.
How tall are you, Dougie?
How tall am I?
Yeah.
I'm 5'9". But I have two penises, so.
Yeah, so you're good.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's it. But that's the first thing I'm doing. Midget warfare.
Midget warfare. You know what? I've been seeing a lot of ads for midget wrestling on Facebook lately, so it'll probably even pop up more. Thanks, Sean.
Well, midget wrestling is amazing. Listen, America has three separate companies that are like all the participants are midgets. And that's the best evidence I have seen to date to suggest that this might actually be the greatest country on earth.
Yeah.
I stand by that. That is phenomenal.
Midget wrestling.
Yeah, because midgets don't mind it. You know, midgets don't mind being thrown and shit. You know, it's part, as long as they're doing something.
Do you know what I'd love to do? Right? I'd love to book, right, all three of those companies at the same venue on the same night and just be like, one of you groups is getting paid tonight. May the best. I just watched that tiny baby unfold.
So look, 3 months from now, when Sean gets counseled, we know why. He was doing so well. What happened? He said this thing about.
There'll be a press conference at the Orlando Improv, and there'll be some guy on the tape like this. we don't want to see him on the improv anymore.
Way to go, Jeff.
There you go. All right. What a great segment that was. All right, fellas. It's time for the news as a joke. This is where we take news from the real world and we make fun of it. And it's usually not that hard. Massachusetts bar is accepting Monopoly money for 2 hours.
Oh, that is fantastic. Do not pass go.
Yeah. Now, of course, you can't get top shelf liquor. Now, Sean used to be a bartender, so.
Yeah. All I'm saying is if I had 2 hours in a bar where I could pay with Monopoly money, I am going directly to jail.
It's 2 hours. So it's 2 hours of unlimited. I can spend as much Monopoly money as I can.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you got to go find the Monopoly game. You know, you're going to go.
Monopoly game.
You got one yet? I couldn't find one. I can imagine, like, I go back and I got Yahtzee, I got Scrabble, I got Boggle. I don't have my goddamn Monopoly board.
After 20 minutes, I'd be like, do you guys take hotels?
Next round on me.
That's right. will you take my top hat?
I have an iron and a thimble. Which do you want?
Exactly. A couple Broadways.
That is funny. Actually, the tavern, Ralph's Tavern in Worcester, said customers who visit the business from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesday can use Monopoly money to pay the $5 cover charge and play money. And the play money will also be accepted for hot dogs, non-alcoholic Jello shots, and tickets for a raffle. Of course, they're going to let you use it for shit you probably wouldn't get anyway.
Yeah. Pick some hot dogs, though.
Yeah, why not? I just had a hot dog next door here at the studio with Dennis, and it was good. And I paid him with the Yahtzee.
he kept getting mad at me for telling him to go fish. It was.
I think I'm gonna do that one night. Just like, all right, everyone gets in free.
That's it.
A donation.
Yeah, everybody gets in free, but you got to play Red Rover, Red Rover, Red Rover, Red Rover. Sent Billy over. Which Red Rover was a game for fat kids, let's face it. Emergency crew rescues sex doll after mistaking it for a drowning woman.
This was in Florida, right?
You would think so. team of emergency rescue drivers was concerned after responding to a scene of a nude drowning woman, and everybody showed up for that. I'll take that call. Only to discover...
Dougie. In other news, member of the crew newly engaged.
only to discover it was actually a floating life-size sex doll. Natsaku Tanaka, who had initially believed she was witnessing a real-life rescue in the city of Hanachoi of Japan. It was in Japan. They got a lot of sex dolls in Japan.
Now, was it
Japan, the Florida of Asia.
Right. Now, was it one of those new fancy ones that cost like $3,000? Like the old ones, just a blow up inflatable. I don't know why that matters, but it does.
Yeah,
it matters.
It does matter. There is a big. I don't think the new one would be floating because that's a big. That's a pretty good piece of equipment.
Of course, it matters. It's the difference between someone bringing it home or not.
Yeah. You're not gonna lose that one.
I'll take this home and clean it up and bring it to evidence tomorrow.
Can you imagine if a dude got so mad at his doll that he pushed it overboard? You never listened to me.
You stop talking back to me. That's crazy. While filming a fishing video, I thought a dead body floating in the water had washed up, but it only to be it was a blow-up doll. The blow-up. Could you think about the poor blow-up doll? You know, now you talk about modernization. No more toll plazas. No more toll. You can't give. There's no more toll keepers, like people that collect toll money, right? Only certain places. But the life of the blow-up doll. You know, it actually, there's people that use the blow up doll only to be replaced with a actually fully functioning, Terminator.
I think if anything, the only reason I could really truly feel bad for an inanimate object is the standard of plowing they're getting is probably different.
You're talking about different levels of people. If you buy the $3,000 one, those people are a little more different.
Yeah.
Than the person that buys the. So who? Right. Okay. Who would you want to sit beside the person that bought? You know, the only thing you know about this person is that which blow up doll they bought.
Okay.
So which one would you
want to sit? I want to sit beside the person with the inflatable blow up doll because they bought it as a joke for a bachelor party.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
I want to sit by the person who spent $4,000 or $5,000 on one.
I feel like that guy's more creepy.
Yeah. But no, and also, Dougie, I don't think you're thinking this through. The conversation, not going to be riveting. This is a person who hasn't chatted to someone in years.
So how you doing, Bill? Hmm?
I feel like he's going to be a lot more creepy. The guy that's
he's going to be like, as soon as you sit beside him, he's going to be like, are you trying to steal my woman?
Because the guy that got the inflatable one, no one knows he got it. He hides it. He's embarrassed about it. I spent $4,000. It's going everywhere with me.
Yeah, I think so.
He's booking that dollar seat on the plane.
He's taking it on the
one at comedy shows. Everything.
Yeah, he's taking it on the HOV lane.
First class, I'll take her drinks.
And now here's one, Sean, you enjoy. Australian woman who woke up from surgery with an Irish accent may be stuck with it for life.
I don't like the way they phrase that. Stuck with it? You woke up improved and they said stuck with it?
And she's from Australia. Not like that accent's that charming.
Yeah.
Doug, you're doing an Australian accent.
Australian accent, eh? That's her doing it.
Australians sound like they're mid-transition from human to chicken. Good eye.
Put another shrimp on the barbie, eh?
Mitch is now Australian people. Way to go, man. Just keep
dragging
it on.
I gotta go watch Crocodile Dundee to remember my Australian accent. Angie Yen, it's an Asian woman. That's also funny. Asian looking woman, Australian accent, now has an Irish accent. Angie Yen, who lives in Brisbane, Queensland, and has never been to Ireland, but she has seen Sean's comedy show. had her tonsils removed on April 19th. 9 days later, she woke up with an Irish sounding accent.
What if she's just joshing everybody?
Yeah.
You know how good you
are. Yeah.
For that long, I want to do it. I'm just going to go to sleep, and tomorrow I'm just going to start doing it. And I'm going to tell everybody, I sneezed yesterday, and now I'm stuck with this accent.
I think that might be the case. I think Brandon's really onto something there. I think this is someone who thought this would be funny and is in too deep.
I don't know what's going on with your mic. Do you hear that, Brandon?
Yeah.
Okay. Something's on with your mic. It's like really pitched.
Sound like a robot.
Yeah.
It's probably the Irish accent.
It's probably screwing the thing up. Aside from getting an Irish accent, the 28-year-old says she's singing voice also improved. Because, there's so many Irish tenors out there. And
it is.
And crooners.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now she can hit notes she was unable to hit before.
I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to speak, not Irish, because I'm not good at Irish. I'm going to speak another accent.
What accent could you do, Brandon?
Let's hear
this. What accent do I think I can do?
Yeah.
Which accent can I do? I can do a Hindu accent from The Simpsons, but I've been told it was horrible. I can say is like a couple things, like, hold up. Here we go. Mr. Simpson, candy bars are not sprinkles. That's it.
It still sounded like you're from Harlem.
That's what happens, man. When black people do accents, we all sound like we're from Harlem.
Yeah, it's it.
Like, no, you cannot have two dumplings.
Yeah, that's how I thought I sound. I didn't sound like that.
He was actually pretty good. You cannot have a tail, you cannot have a tail. You can have three balls, but you cannot have a tail.
Dude, I love that all three of us tried that accent because we're in it together now.
Right, we're a team.
All three of us canceled.
Neither one of us are going to be on Simpsons at any time soon.
Brandon was the instigator. I want that noted.
Well, let's while we're on the potential material to be canceled, backlash over We Rub You. Korean marinade.
What?
These Korean women put together, they have a marinade, you know, for food.
Yeah.
And they called it We Rub You. And some people are, you know, I guess they're considering it kind of the rub and tug, Asian massage parlor. A Korean condiment company started by two Korean American women.
Did you say condom?
Condiments. Janet Chung is under fire for the company's name. The sisters thought it was a good name to name their company, We Rub You, but Asian American Twitter was not having it.
Wait a minute. It's an Asian Twitter, just like it's a black Twitter. Did you guys know it was a black Twitter?
No.
You know why you didn't know that?
Because I'm
not black.
Because I'm not woke.
Yeah, you're not woke now. Oh, I didn't know. I don't even know how you get onto black Twitter or Asian Twitter. I just know it's a thing. So it's an Asian Twitter, right?
Follow the hashtags, my friend.
So just hashtag Asian Twitter, and then it may pop up about the rub.
So you're saying that they have their own like site, like in other words, like Twitter's Twitter, but then there's an Asian Twitter, which is just Asian folks.
No. I think it's hashtags, like how Sean was saying.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's all Twitter, but basically it's a loose term people will use for like a community amongst Twitter that discusses issues that pertain to their race.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I'm going to hashtag it now.
One of the tweets by Elise Hu says, oh, no.
No, I'm not riding with you, Dougie.
Oh, no. She tweeted along with the picture, We Rub You. Kenny, it sounds like we love you. You know what I mean? I mean, why not? I mean, rub, you know, it's a marinade. You rub it on the meat. I like getting my meat rubbed.
Okay, well, yeah, he's right. If you type in hashtag Asian Twitter, all of it pops up. He's right.
Yeah. There you go.
Here's a good story. Are you guys Beatle fans?
Yeah.
Ringo Starr drops legal battle against the Ringo penis ring.
Who did?
I don't want you to put a penis ring in my name, you know.
The fact that there was a legal battle leads me to believe that Ringo needs the money.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, why not have a penis ring named after you? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, that means while there's sex going on, people are thinking of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, drummer legend Ringo Starr has dropped his legal battle against Screaming Oh Pleasure Products, who sell a line of Ringo penis rings. And Starr filed the suit against the company back in 2019, objecting to the name. I don't want my name on the penis ring.
Hey, that right there is funny. And that made me think about the Kanye. Did you see the Kanye West suing Walmart? Did you see that? Oh, okay, cool. So Kanye West is suing Walmart because Walmart made a knockoff shoe of Kanye West's shoe. So he was like, you know what, Walmart? No, we're not having it. And I think theirs was like $24. So what I'm saying is if you want some shoes that look like Kanye's shoes and don't want to pay $600, you can get it from Walmart right now for $24. That's what I took from the whole thing. I was like, I should get mine now, man.
And you know what? Those are ugly shoes, if I remember correctly.
They're very ugly.
Actually very, very convenient because I'm selling knockoff Ringo Starr cock rings. $12.
I was going to start selling cock rings as merch, you know? And I'm like, I mean, you wouldn't get small ones, though, right? I mean, you wouldn't like bother
you gotta get big ones. Almost like a gag gift, right?
Yeah.
That's great because. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, like a hula hoop, you know?
Yes.
That's great, because you know, like as comedians, when we sell T-shirts, we got to stock every size.
Yeah.
But cock rings, you just got to go XXL. Yeah.
And if you how come I'm not selling any of my small cock rings?
It's just swirling around their dicks.
Put it on a keychain if they need to.
And you know, one of the guys, the girl with the guy is going to sell them out. You know, like, I'll take the large. And she's like, no, he won't. He'll take the small. And you're like, there you go. Memphis police. This is a good story. I'll get back to here. Memphis, we got one more story. Memphis police have reportedly arrested two customers who started shooting at a Burger King because their chicken sandwich had too much hot sauce. And not enough we rub you sauce.
Okay, now, Shawnee, say what you want to say, and then I'll have to ask the question that all black people ask when they hear something like that.
Were they white?
I need them to be white. I really need them to be white.
I haven't pulled the page down yet, but I'm guessing they aren't.
I need them to be white. I don't ask for a lot.
Police say they arrested customers who started shooting in Memphis and Burke.
Read the names. Just read the names. Don't tell us yet. Read
Memphis.
The names.
Uh-oh, Brandon. I'm not sure about
this. Looking good. It's not looking good.
Just read the names. Just read the names.
Give us the names. Just the names.
Let's see. Police in Memphis say they have arrested two customers for starting a shooting in a Burger King restaurant after being served chicken sandwich with too much hot sauce. Two people were hit by gunfire, the outlet reported, citing police records. Burger King spokesman confirmed the insider that there was a violent incident at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Let's see here.
I need names.
All right, here we go. Two were hit by gunfire. Halliburton and McKinney were charged. Halliburton doesn't sound black to me.
Halliburton and McKinney. They were on a stag do from Scotland.
Yeah, definitely. I feel safe now. I feel safe. Yeah. I feel safe.
Sean's like getting nervous.
Bachelor party weekend.
Halliburton. How do they spell it?
Halliburton and McKinney. McKinney. We're charged with counts of attempted first-degree murder and four counts of employment of a firearm during commission. The outlook.
I always love when they throw in charges where you're just like, that's like 6 months. They're going to do life for this other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he's charged with 4 degrees of aggravated assault, attempted murder, and jaywalking.
Jaywalking what tilts it. What you got?
And shortchanging the cashier. I just want it to be really funny to see their, like, you know, their mugshots and they got like sauce all over their face.
I don't want
that. That would be bad.
No, before you move on, one more. I want to know, did the person who put too much sauce on it get fired? Because, you know, they tell them, I told you, Mike, you put way too much hot sauce on the chicken sandwiches, and this guy's really mad about it. I just want to know, did they get fired? I'm done.
No, I don't see any center recourse against the employees because they were probably cowering under the table, under the desk. Let's see. We don't tolerate condone violence at any kind of Burger King restaurants because the safety of a team member and the guests are our top priority. We don't give a shit what they eat, but we don't want anybody to get a shot.
Right.
they can eat shit that'll give them a heart attack, but fuck, don't let them shoot each other. Fortunately,
hey, Brandon, I don't know how to break this to you, but in the chat, they just sent the headshots.
Is it black people?
They weren't white.
I got it. I'm so disappointed. I was hoping by the names I could just go off of it and win one, but I had an idea.
You're like, I met some black Halliburtons.
Oh my gosh. They're black.
And they got trust funds. Our last story, Tokyo Olympics athletes warned not to use the 160,000 free condoms that were issued to their athletes. Organizers of the 2020 Olympics have reportedly vowed to put on a safe and secure games during the coronavirus pandemic, but safe sex or anything approximate or approaching intimacy, for that matter, will be forbidden.
Okay.
So they're handing out all these free condoms, but they're saying don't use them.
I mean, you want them to get herpes and COVID?
Yeah, I mean, balloon animals.
I actually competed in the Japanese Olympics, and all I came back with was this fucking condom.
Right. You're not even, that's like parents giving you an allowance. I'm like, don't spend this money. Just hold on to it.
Save it.
Yes. Yeah. Let me put it in the bank. No. Just don't use it.
What is the longest you ever had a condom in your wallet?
I want to say about 3 or 4 months, not because of not having places to use it, because I just forgot I have and would use others. So it wasn't like, you get what I'm saying? I'm like, if I have a condom, I would rather use theirs if they have one and save mine in the wallet. You know, it's not, we used to use mine if they have one.
Yeah. Have you ever got busted for having, like, I had a girlfriend one time look through my drawers and found condoms in there. And of course I was like, aren't you glad I'm using it with all these chicks I'm banging?
Yeah, I'm playing. You practicing safe. That's what you should definitely have been happy that you were being safe.
Hey, you listen. If you get a lump, if you get a little, you get one of those. If your vagina starts looking like an armadillo, don't blame me.
You should just turn it around on her. Don't you? Wow. Wow. I'm safe, and you have an itch. Wow.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare you?
You want me to bring you back something off these other bitches I'm banging?
Because they like it. They encourage me to be safe.
That's right. They say, we don't want you to give your girlfriend any of this stuff I got. Well, anyway, gentlemen, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. This has been a lot of fun. I want to thank Brandon Rainwater, of course, Sean Finnerty for joining us here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And real quick, let's do some plugs. What do you got coming up, Brandon?
I'll be in Greensboro, North Carolina at the winery next weekend. What is that? July the 8th.
Oh, nice. Sean?
Oh, July 9th through 11th, I'm doing shows in the Wormhole in Savannah, the Sparrow in Charleston, and then Evening Muse in Charlotte. And if they want to find me on social media, it's just Sean Finnerty, SeanyFinnerty.
There you go. This Wednesday, I'm going to be home. I'm here in Boca Raton at the Dubliner in Boca Raton. And on Friday, I'm going to be at... a place in Margate. I don't remember what it's called, but go to Dougie Almeida. And on Saturday, I'm doing Spring Hills in New Smyrna Beach. Andy's room out there. I remember his name. I'm blanking out.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he was naming out multiple places. I thought we just giving one. I could have named off multiple show offs.
Well, listen, it's my show, goddammit, so too bad. Anyway, but thanks, guys, so much for being on the show. God bless. And I'll be back in Greenville next week after being here in Florida. See you then. Sean, hope to see you soon, buddy. I know you got some dates coming to Florida, too. And you guys are the best, man. Thanks so much for doing the show.
My pleasure, bud. Cheers.
All right. Back to the studio, Chris. And we're gonna put this show to bed. What do you think?
Sounds like it was another good one, boys.
There you go. Good night, everybody. Thank you. And follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow us on Instagram at The Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And follow me on Twitter at Funny Fiduciary and at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram. Goodbye, everybody. Take care and God bless.
Wake up!